Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hello, Sarah. Welcome to Fan Fiction Friday.
Hello, friend. I'm very happy I'm out of alliteration for the morning.
Wow, that was not much more.
Today is our thrilling, not even conclusion, because this is a very long, long, there's many chapters to this.
I really dig this one.
I see 16 chapters. I don't know that we'll read them all. But today we're going to do chapter 2.
Of?
It's called Home Invasion. Rachel X24601, for those of you who are Les Mis fans. There's a little Easter egg in there. Okay, so we started this last week. And briefly, if I remember correctly, this happens in a world where Sarah never worked at Fox River, never met Michael, is up in her cabin getting a little...
Arner?
Yes, a little R&R in me time.
Should I read the summary from the entire thing?
Yeah, that's a much better idea. Yes.
Sarah is 6 months sober and enjoying some time away from Chicago in a remote cabin in the woods when the Fox River 8 break into her habitation. Looking for a place to hide, Sarah becomes a prisoner in her own home. Chemistry sometimes hits where it's least expected. Warnings. Kidnapping, threat to violence, mention of drug abuse. Chapter 2 of Home Invasion.
Let's see. It was first published June 17th, 2018.
Yes.
Correct. All right. Are you ready?
I don't know. I don't know if I am, but we're going to do it anyway.
We're going to be ready. We got this. Okay, I'll start. They use duct tape to tie her up. She'd actually told them they'd find some under the sink. Because before the man, Michael Schofield, released his hold on her, before she had the occasion to adjust the thin fabric of her robe on her nude upper body, before the threat of death wasn't at a reasonable distance from her, Sarah found she was incapable of anything but sheer, shameless compliance.
Wow.
In the living room, with her robe knotted firmly at the waist, even with her hands tied behind her back, Sarah felt a little less desperate than she had a moment before outside, where the dark woods and sky had fostered an atmosphere of savage permissiveness.
Oh, shameless compliance and savage permissiveness.
If I were Jake Peralta, I would say, title of your sex tape. That's my...
Shameless compliance?
And savage permissiveness.
And savage permissiveness.
Yes, that's my Brooklyn Nine-Nine reference for the day.
Yes.
The four men were a strange sight in the living room, usually so quiet. Just yesterday, she spent an hour reading on that same couch drinking tea. Tea. Their inmate jumpsuits were brown with dirt up to the knees, their shoes leaving big, muddy imprints on the wooden floor.
Only Abruzzi was sitting, his index finger traveling across the arm of the wicker chair with nonchalance. The three other men, Schofield, Burroughs, and Sucre, Sarah remembered from the news, were pacing around, throwing ideas at each other. From a distance, the situation looked nearly as desperate as hers. "You wanted to be the good college boy," Abruzzi commented wryly. "The hero. Hell, you've been calling the shots since the beginning of this operation, so go on now. Won't you? What do we do now, Mr. Mastermind?"
I love your evolving Abruzzi accent.
It's just constantly moving.
Keep workshopping. I love it.
"You shut up," Burroughs barked. Sarah thought he was maybe the sort of guy that looks like two different persons, depending on whether he is or isn't dressed like a prisoner. At the moment, with his filthy jumpsuit, he looked like a bull. If that bull had been shaved and had an angry vein protruding from his forehead instead of foreheads, title of your sex tape.
Nope.
His brother, Michael Schofield, was a different matter. After the flash of fear she'd caught in his eyes when he was holding her down, he had quickly regained his composure. The smeared outfit didn't change him much. Really, he looked like a calculating businessman on the verge of winning a case. Mm. She bet that's what he looked like, even when he was facing defeat. "No, no," Bruce went on. We've been through too much to be coy around each other, haven't we? I'm asking.
He just ended up in, like, Transylvania somewhere.
I'm just asking what a lot of you think about options if we don't kill the girl. We aren't killing anyone.
Sorry.
Michael answered inflexibly. Title your sex tape. Shock prevented Sarah from finding it strange that they would say all of this in front of her. Maybe this was shocking enough to them, too, but they weren't really aware she was there watching. So shocking that they weren't really aware that she was there watching. Having her own murder discussed in front of her was not nearly as terrifying as she would have thought. A fleeting thought crossed her mind that it was a shame there was nobody here she knew to witness her remarkable self-possession.
Don't fool yourself that you're some brave survivor. It's just the shock. You're there, and you're not there at the same time. Of course, Sarah wasn't always so calm on the brink of death. Last time it had been rather... A flash from the past struck her like a fist to the stomach, wreaking chaos in her brain. Oh God, let me go. Please, Tom. We have a new character.
Tom, who's
new to this universe, I think. Sarah blinked and the memory was gone. Panic vanished along with it, leaving nothing but this strange scene. The four intruders in her living room, her hands glued behind her. Ooh. It might have been pulled out of one of those plays that like to show you how people behave like animals when they're in a place remote from society. A huis clos. H-U-I-S space C-L-O-S. Paul, do you know what that means?
Nope.
I guess that's one of those plays that show you how people behave like animals when they're pissing.
Somebody let us know, but keep reading. I may have to.
Yeah, maybe Google that. You do a quick
keep
Google
talking.
Search?
Fascinating. Keep talking.
I will. Sarah loved plays that dealt with the complex, flawed nature of humankind. But they never end well, do they? Not for anyone. Okay, hit me. What is it? Huis clos.
No exits.
Oh.
Which is the Sartre play.
Yeah.
But also it means closed doors, behind closed doors. So I guess, I don't know if she's referring to the play or if she's referring to the, maybe that's a situation like a huis clos play, like behind closed doors play.
Sorry, in what language?
I think it's French.
I would have thought so, but I speak a little French and none of that makes sense to me.
Apparently you don't.
Apparently I don't. By the way, Sartre was French, right? So wouldn't
yes. Yes, it could just be that.
Okay, moving on. Before we get too hung up on this, somebody call in to our call-in line and tell us how to
I hear people clicking over to SmartList as we speak. All right, keep going.
Abruzzi shrugged. They don't have fan fiction. Abruzzi shrugged. He looked very calm, Sarah thought. The pepper and salt stubble on his face didn't become him. Made him look a little unkempt. If this had been a movie, he would have been his most impressive self. He would have been clean shaven. He probably had been in his glory days. Sarah couldn't help but remember what he was in prison for. There was a reason why John Abruzzi hadn't been caught for a very, very long time. He was clever, always did a neat job. No witness was the golden rule to any decent criminal.
I'm going to die, Sarah thought, as a matter of fact, logical conclusion. But she didn't feel it. Her body refused to have it. If she had been going to die at the age of 29, then it ought to have been 6 months ago, before she went through the pains of rehab, the insanities of insomnia, before she last lost half her mind from grief and guilt. If there had been any mercy in the world, any sense, she would have died in Tom's arms, high. A death would have come over her like a train shooting into the night. And not stopping for anyone.
That's a cool image.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go on.
It is. Death, she felt, was not so bad when you didn't feel it, when you didn't have to come to terms with it. All right, Abruzzi said without raising his voice. So what's the idea here, fellows? We stay hidden here forever, eh? I think he's Canadian. Or we get some rest, then leave the woman behind. Even if we cut all the phone lines, she'd have reached the next town in 24 hours. Less than that if she chances upon a driving car. Lincoln's right, John, Michael said, calm, also, but with a tone of warning. You should shut up. I'm just waiting for you to come up with the solutions. He got up from the wicker chair with a sigh. For a second, Sarah remembered seeing her father sitting in that chair, newspaper in his hand. Shiver momentarily shook her out of her numbness. When you're ready to move on to mine, let me know. After all, we have time to waste. No one should come looking for us here. In the meantime, I'll be in the kitchen fixing myself one hell of an overdue dinner. I think I'm becoming Triumph the Insult Comic Dog when I'm doing a Brutzy, which is I don't think was what Peter Stormare was going for. He disappeared from the living room in a series of heavy, still muddy footsteps. Sucre rubbed a sweaty palm over his smooth scalp while Lincoln muttered something about keeping an eye on the toe-cutting free.
Damn. Michael turned away from them both, and she could see his face, clear, distinct. It took her a moment to realize he was looking at her. "We aren't going to hurt you," he said. "You have my word." She thought that was extremely funny. "Just trust the escaped con who broke into your house." But the laughter lay dead somewhere in the pit of her throat like a block of ice. This wasn't meant to happen, as if that were an excuse of sorts, that she was just a mishap in the grand order of things. "I'm sorry." Then he turned back to his brother, and Sarah felt like she had suddenly ceased to exist.
Mm.
That's when she knew, truly realized, that Michael Schofield stood between her and death. Mm. Part of her felt erased already, washed out like a sand sculpture on the beach. "There needs to be someone watching her all the time," Michael resumed. "I don't trust what Abruzzi's up to."
"Sure,"
Link nodded.
"Well,
that's my Lincoln impression."
"It's great.
Thank you. Great. I appreciate it. You want to go ahead?"
Sarah stared in silent astonishment. Here he was, king amongst the cons. Look at that, acting as if he were their leader, and it didn't look like it was all just about a prison break. When you thought about it, there was a deeper level to the men's exchanges, something that led on there was more going on than you would think. "Jesus," Sarah closed her eyes. "Am I living in the adventure of a lifetime? I was out for some quiet time alone in the countryside. 4 runaway inmates, and at least one who very much wanted to kill her. And you didn't want to forget that one they'd been talking about before. And you didn't want to forget the one they'd been talking about before, the one who lost a hand. By all means, this is going to be a long night. Longer still than she could guess." Bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. There is an author's note at the very bottom of this chapter. It says, "I hope you've enjoyed this second chapter. I'm really getting into the stories. Got lots of ideas for it. I'm always happy to hear yours.
So don't hesitate to comment. I thought we were reading at the end.
Oh, well, I felt like I was interrupting you then. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. That's great. All right. Well, good. I think we do we have to do chapter 3 next week.
We absolutely have to do chapter 3 next week. Because I want to find out the moment when Sarah and Michael realize that they're in love. Forgive me.
You think it's coming?
Somewhere in this.
Chemistry comes in strange places, right? That was kind of one of the teaser. Yeah.
Unless it's like some weird Abruzzi and Lincoln have a thing for each other.
Let's go.
Rage. Filled.
Rage love.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay, so
we'll talk to you next week.
Leave it here for today.
Yeah, let's leave it here for today. Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul is a Caliber Studio production.
Can I time you out for a second?
Yes.
If people want to read us their own fan fiction,
what
should they do?
If people want to read us their own fan fiction, I think they should email us at pbpodcast@caliber-studios.com. Or maybe they could DM us.
Sorry, it's singular. I'm so sorry.
What did I say?
Studios.
That's too bad.
I know.
I'll edit it.
Okay. So, Paul, if people have fan fiction that they want us to read, that they have written, or that they are fans of themselves, what should they do?
They can email us at pbpodcast@caliber-studio.com, or they can direct message us on Instagram at Prison Break Podcast, or they can just read it right into their phones and leave us a message on our call-in line, 4013-PBREAK. Come back next week for chapter 3.
By the way, please read us your fan fiction. We want to hear your Abruzzi impression.
We really
do. Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul is a Caliber Studio production.
Your hosts have been friends but not besties, Sarah Wayne Callis and Paul Edelstein.
Our prison warder Our prison warden has been producer Ben Haber.
Keeping us slim and trim in the prison yard has been sound designer and editor Jeff Schmidt.
The manager of our jailbird band is Paul Edelstein, who made all our music.
And our prison artist, logo, and brand designer is John Nunziato. John Nunziato? John Nunziato? And Little Big Brands. Check them out at www.littlebigbrands.com.
Follow us on Instagram at Prison Break Podcast. Email us at pbpodcast@caliber-studio.com. And call us at 401-3-PBREAK.
Prison Break. I'm Sarah Paul. Go to Caliber Studio. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
See you next week.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.